This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, September 14th, 2025. Back to School English, given by Co-Director of Youth and Family Life, Bonnie Sieben.
Well, good morning. Good morning, and welcome to Connection Community Church. We're so glad that you are here with us today. My name is Bonnie Sieben, and many of you may know me as the co-director of Youth and Family Life. I get to work with the students and teenagers in the church, which is amazing. But what you may not know about me is that I spent about 15 years of my career in the classroom, college-level freshmen mostly, teaching writing, critical reading and thinking, text analysis, action research. Yes, I can claim the title of English teacher. And so usually when I had those students, it culminated in a 15-week... So I am officially the substitute teacher here today, and I've been warned there may be paper airplanes coming my way. So I'm sure you will all be very well behaved. When I had students, I would have a 15-week semester, and it would usually culminate in some sort of written research paper, which I know you all who are finished with school miss so much, and those of you who are in the building who are still in school just really love those, right? Yeah, I thought so. You will be relieved to know, I suspect, that in the School of Discipleship, there are not required written projects. Yeah. However, we are not in the English classroom today, and we are in the School of Discipleship, and that is this incredible, amazing, lifelong opportunity to grow in faith, to grow in knowledge of the Lord, to grow in our faithfulness to all the things God has called us to. And so while it does not come with a written research project, what it comes with is an amazing opportunity and invitation to live out Jesus' words and works in our lives with others. And it impacts every area of our future. So last week, you may recall, if you were here, that Pastor David started this series with a history lesson. And so he took you to history class last week, where you talked about how in the school, this seems to be coming loose. Am I okay? I feel my microphone moving. Sorry. He talked to you about how in the School of Discipleship, we see history through the lens of God's story and God's work and how we are part of that redemption story. Today, I'm going to take you to English class, where we talk about the transformational power of words. But before we jump into our scripture this morning, I actually am going to give you the privilege of a bonus lesson. This is a lesson that I shared with many of my students over many, many years. And that is the power of the handwritten word. There is significant neuroscience and research behind the idea of encoding, which basically means that when we write things down, it signals to our brain that that information belongs in our long-term memory and we want to be able to recall it in the future. So when we write things down, and yes, I do literally mean the old-fashioned way with pen and paper, there is some research that says you still have some encoding as well with typing, though it's not maybe as meaningful or extreme. But when we write things down, we are literally teaching our brain what we value, what we want to retain, what we want to recall in the future. And we're training our brain how to organize information that is important to us. And so I'm not saying you need to write down what I'm saying today, but I am inviting you to consider, do you have a central place where you write down notes from a sermon, a Christian podcast, things in your own devotional life that you may come across and want to remember, perhaps an ongoing prayer need? Are we keeping track of the things that we're learning on this faith journey? Are we intentionally training our brain to grow in the knowledge of the Lord by leveraging what research shows is that encoding power of the written word? So just something for you to think about today as you consider your life as a student in the School of Discipleship. But for today, we are going to jump into our scripture, which is James 3. And before we do that, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father God, we pray over this time this morning here. Lord God, be in this place with us. Let me speak your words. Lord God, let all of our hearts be open to your message. God, let your name be raised that we might focus, Lord, not on ourselves, but on you. Father God, that we might focus on how we can be who you have called us to be in this kingdom you are building. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are picking up in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 3. And I'm going to make sure I read this to you exactly as it is written. Let me look at my notes here. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Hear that last part with me again. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And as we're speaking this morning, just a reminder that everyone, regardless of where they are in their faith walk, is made in the image of God. And so truly, that means everybody. Lord, it shouldn't be. And let's be honest, though. It is an incredibly relatable scripture. It shouldn't be that we would curse those made in the image of God. And yet how easily have we found ourselves in situations where our tongues got ahead of our good sense, where our emotions drove us to speak words that did not ever belong in our mouths or hearts. The fact is that we have an immense destructive power at our fingertips, the very words that we say. James compares the tongue to a rudder of a ship, this very small part that will shape and form so much of the direction of our lives. I mean, can you hear in that language and what we just read together in the scripture how seriously James took this subject? He literally says our words can destroy. Our tongues can, quote, set our whole lives on fire. Picture that concept. James is warning us very clearly, with very strong language, that if we allow our words to run out of control, there is no end to the destruction that we can allow to occur in our homes and our families, in our workplaces and our schools, in our communities, in our church body. If we are careless with our words, especially if we are careless with our words over time as a pattern or a habit, we can do so much harm. When we allow our tongues to take our lives in directions that are not God-honoring, how quickly relationships and opportunities, honestly, our very testimony of God's work in our lives, can be burned down. Think about it this way. Fire, controlled and managed, brings heat and light and safety. Fire left uncontrolled and unmanaged is what brings destruction. It is the same way with our words. Jesus actually shared with his disciples in John 13, verse 35, he said that people will know they are his disciples by how they love one another. And so what does it say about us as disciples of Jesus if our language is not filled with love for one another, but becomes filled with rage or bitterness, degrading those made in the image of God, leaning into divisiveness, gossip, anger, or cursing others? what destruction can come from our words, how quickly someone can be made to feel unloved and unwelcome when we do not carefully choose our words. Take a moment and reflect. Maybe you can think of a time, even in the last week, when your tongue could be compared to a destructive fire. Using words driven by emotion, words that tore down those around you, maybe they were with you at the time, maybe they weren't, but you let loose that awful power in your life where you caused harm. Maybe you can also think of a time this week where you were on the receiving side of some of those same kinds of words, where instead of the harm that you might have been doing, you received the hurt from someone else. Honestly, it's likely that we've all been on both sides of those kinds of words. When someone's words have hurt us, made us feel unloved, unwelcomed, not valued, caused damage in our hearts or our lives, and we've likely, at times, done the same to others. For some of you, I recognize that the hurt is deep and comes from very painful experiences. We cannot underestimate the power of words, and I do not take lightly the wounds that some of us carry from the words of others. I do believe that Jesus heals and restores and redeems, and we can find that in him, but still, we need to take these moments of reflection where we think about the words that we've heard, the words that we've said in this last week. What would we give to go back and be able to just repeat one interaction over? Is there just 5 minutes you would repeat if you could and do it a little different with how you spoke or what you said? I know it's hard to think about, but at the same time, while God restores and redeems, words can't be unheard. And so while we can apologize and relationships can be mended, ultimately, I do believe we have to sit with this understanding that words do not disappear with apologies. We have to allow that truth to drive us towards wanting to change. As a young mom, when my kids were in late preschool, early elementary school, I worked with them a lot to learn the gospel story. We memorized a lot of scripture together. We would kind of draw pictures. And, you know, a lot of times at nighttime, during bedtime stories, things like that, we would weave that in. And most of the scriptures we did were really focused on the core gospel message, like understanding who God was, who that he created them to be, all those things. But there is one scripture that we worked on that, if I'm honest with you, was probably a little self-serving in my hopes to get them to be a little bit more cooperative. And that was Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Hear this word with me. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. And like I said, yes, I might have been working with them to memorize that in a slightly self-serving way. And yet, I consider it an incredibly powerful and pivotal scripture when we're talking about the power of words. Because it is an illustration of how so many different types of habits with words can become an engulfing fire. It is so easy to get caught up in grumbling and arguing. Some versions of scripture say complaining. And to go down a path of negativity, criticism, and dissatisfaction. This scripture is where we can see an example of that destructive power of words over time. Because sure, anyone can have a bad moment, be critical or argumentative, but what happens when we allow criticism, negativity, complaining, arguing, grumbling to begin to define our words and our worldview, to be what others consider part of our personality? What happens when it takes over like a blazing fire, when we have a problem for every solution, a frustration for every situation, we're so seeped in our negative words and complaints that we find ourselves always dissatisfied. How would that rob us of joy and peace in the Lord? And whether it is complaining and arguing and negativity, or it's gossip, or it's just being very awful to others who are made in the image of God, who see things or consider things differently than we do, whatever it is with that power of words, when we're using it for harm, over time, the habits we create with our words have so much power to shape our lives. They're building blocks. And if we feed the kinds of words that Scripture warns against, all of those things I was just saying, they build and they build and they build and they build in power like an inferno until it drives our every conversation, our every interaction, in ways that will really just tear our relationships down. It will steal from us the very community that God designed us to live in. I truly believe that we were designed and created to live in Christian community with one another. And how hard is it to do that? How hard is it to live that out when our words are so draining and lacking in the godly nature that we are called to? If we allow our words to build into that kind of destructive power, we also rob ourselves of the offer at the end of Scripture in Philippians 2:15, where it says that we can shine like stars. That if we don't fall into that trap of negativity, that we, if we approach our lives and our words differently, we get to be God's light for others. It seems to imply that we don't have to allow that destruction, though James makes it clear it's very prevalent and possible. But this scripture shows us there's an offer of another way, a way that sets us apart and leaves us like those shining stars in what it refers to as a warped or crooked generation. Because the incredible thing about the power of words is that we can harness them not only for a destructive fire, but we can harness them for good. We can harness them to be incredibly, beautifully, wonderfully life-giving and community-building. In fact, if we look at Scripture over and over and over again, we are called and told and invited to use our words in that way. And I'm going to run through a few examples a little quickly, so you don't need to try to turn to each of them with me. But hear the words this morning. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Hebrews 10:24a, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And finally, Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. What theme runs through all of those verses? That we can and are called to use our words for the benefit of others. That we can use our words to build up this Christian community that God has called us into, that we can use our words to bring life, encouragement to those around us. Our words can be the life-giving force that gives someone confidence through encouragement, peace in moments of anxiety, motivation when they are weary. Church, this is part of why fellowship with other believers is so important in our lives. At times, we will all feel insecure, we will all feel anxious, we will all feel weary, and in those moments, we can harness the power of words to build one another up in the Lord. And it takes awareness, some intentionality, it takes looking up from our own lives, our own struggles, our own complaints or negativity, long enough to pour the love of God intentionally over others with words of encouragement and support. And I think what's really beautiful about the Christian community that God calls us to when we see described in Scripture is that I might be weary and you might be weary, but if we both look up from our own stress and struggles and we look to one another, I can encourage you and you can encourage me, and we can truly see each other. We can see each other for the goodness God created in us. We can see each other for the way God is moving and working in our lives. We can see each other for the blessings that we can be and we are, and we can pour that encouragement over one another. And in doing so, we basically build each other all the way up. We are all weary at times, and yet we all have the capacity to pour that love of God over others, and in doing so, build this incredible Christian community that God has called us into. The decision is clear. Our words can be used to give life, hope, and peace, or frankly, they can be used to cause great harm. If we pick back up in James 3, we find in verses 10 and 12, "And so blessings and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water?" Sorry, I lost my place. "Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring." You can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. You can't, and we can't pour encouragement and life over others while at the same time pouring out cursing and gossiping and complaining and worse from our lips. At this point, I'm hoping you might be thinking to yourself, maybe there's a change you'd like to make somewhere in your life when it comes to the power of words. Some taming of your tongue that God might be stirring in your heart. I would venture to suggest that all of us, myself included for sure, have some area of our lives where God could work out some additional growth, we'll say. When it comes to our words, the school of discipleship has many, many levels, and I'm not sure any of us fully attain it here on earth. But I want to share with you something that I think is so incredibly important coming straight from the wisdom of Jesus on this subject that we really can't miss as we talk about the power of our words. It's found in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. It says this: "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart." Say that with me. What you say flows from what is in your heart. And so we could say today, you could say today, I could say today, you know, I'm really going to clean up my mouth. I'm going to clean up my words. I'm going to speak differently about this. I'm not going to let anger control my emotions and words the way I have, or I'm not going to, all these different things, we could kind of make a declaration. But Jesus is pretty clear. It's actually our hearts that need to get cleaned up first. Our words reflect our heart. Our words overflow from the values treasured deep inside of us. Think about it. If we are insecure, we may be prone to gossip. If we are anxious, we may be prone to negativity. If we spend our time listening to podcasts and newscasts full of negativity, that same negative spirit will likely start to show up in our words. If we focus on money and accumulating worldly possessions, our words may become self-centered instead of focused on generosity. And if we fill our minds with media full of profanity, violence, or rage, it is no surprise if that starts coming out in how we speak. Hear me on this, it's straight from Jesus' words. The straightforward spiritual truth is that what we store up in our hearts will eventually come out of our mouths. What we store up in our hearts will eventually come out of our mouths. And so the best way to change our words, to tame our tongue, get our hearts more fully in the hands of Jesus. Confess, pray, seek, read scripture, fill up so completely on godly words, words of joy, love, peace, encouragement, Christian music, Christian podcasts, life-giving messages, fellowship with other believers. Fill so much up on all of that that it becomes what flows out of your mouth. It becomes your default setting. We will not change our words with decisions or good intentions alone. We will change our words by resetting our hearts and through the inviting of the power of God to work in our lives. We must adjust the input before we can transform the output. And don't we want to live that Ephesians 4:29 life? Remember earlier where we said it declares, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." I mean, isn't that what we want in a church body? Isn't that what we want in a community? Frankly, in a world? What a glorious invitation to build a culture of life-giving words, of a body of believers who build one another up according to their needs, who speak words of truth and love and encouragement. And yet it won't happen by accident. It will happen when we recognize that destructive potential of our words, become inspired by the life-giving potential and impact, and then reset our hearts so that they are flowing with God's love and scriptural values. And sometimes it does take a bit of intentional practice. And you know that you can't ask a teacher to come up on stage without at least a little bit of homework, right? Yeah. So you had to be expecting a little something. This week, I want to invite you to participate with me. I want to invite you to participate with me in what I'll term the Speak Life Challenge. Because it is so easy every day to be so caught up in ourselves and our own lives and what we need and what we're struggling with, what we're stressed with, that we miss what's happening around us. We miss the people right next to us. We don't see because we're not looking. And so with this challenge, what I want to invite you to do is intentionally share a word of encouragement or thoughtful support with someone in your life. But I'm not talking like fake fill people with false flattery or just like, "Hey, cute shoes." I want you to see them. I want you to see who they are. I want you to see what God is doing in their life, how their lives are changing, what they are doing to impact others. And I want you to encourage them in that. Each day, pick a different person in your life to intentionally see through the eyes and lens of the Lord and tell them what you see. Tell them how you see the good things in their life. Speak life and encouragement each day over someone different in your life. And I hope that if you'll participate with me in that, what it will do is just really inspire you to that transforming power of words. And I hope that it will help you feel a little bit more motivated to think about how you get your heart more fully in the hands of Jesus and allow that heart transformation to transform your words. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for the chance this morning to speak on this subject, Lord. Thank you for how you are at work in all of our lives. We pray you would build strong community. Lord God, we pray you would build strong relationships and opportunities in each of our lives, and we know how quickly words can destroy that and how powerfully words can transform it. Lord, we pray your blessing on each person here, and thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life He offers.